This is A Wee Bit of Everything, the podcast that explores all things sport and teaching.
Welcome back to a brand new series of the Obo Podcast.
In this series, we interview PE teachers from around the world to see how it compares to Scotland and where we could perhaps learn from the different countries to continue to improve the quality of physical education for our young people.
This series is in partnership with SatPE and we're looking forward to collaborating together to provide the very best professional learning platform for PE teachers in Scotland. Be sure to get signed up to SatPE on their website to keep up to date with the latest developments in physical education. Let's get started with this week's episode of A Wee Bit of Everything.
Hello everybody and welcome back to this week's episode of the A Wee Bit of Everything podcast, where we are doing our new series where we are interviewing athletes on their experiences of PE and also comparison series with countries from around the world and their take on PE and what it might look like within their country and their context. So again, in partnership with SatPE, this brand new series on how Scottish PE compares to other nations. We'll publish three episodes and look to explore the curriculum, pedagogy and ethos in our respective nations. We'll also touch on extracurricular provision in place and the value this brings to our young people and the young people of the schools and the countries that we are going to be interviewing. All questions that we're going to ask in the podcasts that are coming up are questions directly from the members of SatPE and obviously myself and Clark on the Wee Bit of Everything podcast. So Clark, do you want to give the listeners a wee insight into what they can expect from tonight's episode?
Yep, before we get started, I'll just give you a brief rundown of what we're going to go through. We're going to touch on how PE is supported with national policies, which are in place in the countries that we're going to interview. We're going to also talk about how you can become a PE teacher in their country, like how many years and how many hours of input do teachers get to become fully trained. And then we're going to talk about what they would consider the top three priorities for physical education. And finally, we're going to talk about one thing that makes PE in their country unique. So the countries which are going to be coming on tonight are Canada, Finland, Czech Republic and Slovakia. So let's get everyone on and chatting about PE.
I think we've also done well to get the time differences right, yeah, to tie all these countries down. So really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I think we've done a great job there in tying us together. So
I think you need to take the credit for that one. You do all the logistics. So
well, let's not speak too soon because I'm not on yet. So let's just take it a step at a time.
The introductions went well, so let's see if everybody is in the waiting room ready to go.
Sounds good. Let's do it. Welcome to the A Wee Bit of Everything podcast, everyone. Thanks again for joining us today to listen in. And we have, you know, fantastic guests on tonight from Canada. We've got a representative from Finland. We've got Czech Republic on board. And we also have Slovakia as well. So a wide range of people coming onto the podcast tonight to share their knowledge and experience of physical education. So before we get onto the main part of the episode, talking about the curriculum and talking about teaching and learning, we're going to go around everyone who's on tonight and get them to introduce themselves, where they're from, and what their role is in developing and promoting physical education in their countries. So what I'll do is I'll go first. So my name's Clark Burrow. I live just outside Glasgow in Scotland. I'm a faculty head, principal teacher, sorry, of PE, dance, health and wellbeing in a school in Glasgow. And I'm also Vice President of SatPE, which is the Association for PE Teachers in Scotland. Lewis, if you want to just give a brief intro as well, and then we'll move around.
My name is Lewis Cleland. I am just a physical education teacher in a school in Fife, which is a council in Scotland as well. And I'm just going into my fifth year, I always have to think about that one, fifth year of teaching physical education. So that is my current role, and that obviously alongside doing the podcast with Clark, which we've been doing now for almost 2 years now, and working with the PE, the Scottish Association of Physical Education Teachers, and in line with the podcast as well. So that is my role of PE in my country.
Right. So we head over to Slovakia now with Dana. Dana, if you could introduce yourself.
It's great to be here. So I'm Dana. I'm from the Faculty of Education, Trnava University in Slovakia. And actually my background is I specialize in primary physical education, teacher education, and preschool physical education, teacher education. Those are my main topics. But I'm also involved in the curricular committee in Slovakia for PE curriculum development. And I'm also a member of some international organizations as UPIA, FIEP, CEREPS. So those who are quite involved in PE and physical activity in general. So that's basically about me.
Hello, guys. I'm Peter from the Czech Republic, from Brno, which is the second largest city in the Czech Republic, on the other side of the Czech Republic from Prague. Now, currently, I work as an associate professor at the Faculty of Education at Masaryk University. But actually, I walked all the way from the basic school, from elementary school, from the all levels of teaching. And now, as I said, I'm associate professor, but also I'm involved in the curriculum development in the Czech Republic, dealing with reforms and revisions processes. I'm also actually very much interested in international comparative research, so in PE. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from the other guys. Maybe thus I'm involved in actually many international societies and such a physical education, EUPA, European Physical Education Association. I'm also vice president of Czech Society of PE Teachers. So yeah, I do pretty much in PE politics, but also I teach PE, athletics, swimming and stuff like that at our faculty. So yeah, I'm trying to get moving as well.
Yeah, thanks, lads, for having all of us on. I've been looking forward to this all month, so this is great. I'm Doug Letty. I am in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So in the western part of Canada, the second furthest to the left, closest area that most people end up knowing is Banff, which is about 4 hours away. So I'm currently a professor and associate dean in the Faculty of Education at the University of Alberta. But I was a phys ed teacher for 14 years before doing that. I spent time as a director of a provincial health and phys ed and comprehensive school of health organization. And I just finished the term as president of Physical and Health Education Canada, which is our national body. And I'll talk later about how the provinces and the national body interact. But happy to be here to learn from everybody. Thanks.
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's nice to be here. Thanks for invitation. My name is Eva Gretasnel. I come from Turku, from south of Finland, and I'm a physical education teacher and health education teacher at a Finnish high school. It has 750 students, and students are from 16 to 19 years old. I'm also a member of the board of the Finnish Association of the Physical and Health Education Teachers.
Thank you. So nice to be here and see everybody and get some international points of view of health and physical education. So my name is Heidi Rautajoki. I'm from Helsinki, the capital of Finland. I'm a PE teacher and a health education teacher at an international and Finnish comprehensive school. We also have about 750 students in our school, and the students that I teach at the moment is they are from 11 to 15 year old. And I'm also a vice chairman of the board of the Finnish Association of Physical and Health Education Teachers. Currently, we are working together closely with the government of Finland of developing the physical education in Finland.
Thank you very much for sharing that. We'll get into the more sort of hot topics that we're going to discuss. Lewis is going to kick us off with the first question.
So all the questions that we've been given this time, normally it's up to Clark and I to come up with the questions, but now since we're working with the PE Association, we're getting questions from different people. So all the questions that we've got tonight are from individuals that are part of the
the PE Association in Scotland. So the first one that we've got for you is kind of looking more broadly at national level in your country. How is PE supported with the national policies in place? And then how is PE implemented at a national level? Does anybody want to volunteer to go first? What about Doug in Canada? Do you fancy kicking us off with that one?
Sure, I can do that. And maybe I'm a good place to start because all of our education policies are provincial. So Canada has 10 provinces and 3 territories. Mm-hmm. And each territory is kind of linked with an associated province, but each one is responsible for its own curriculum all the way across. So health and phys ed is unique in each province, but there are a lot of similarities. For example, there was a study, I think it was 2016, that looked at outcomes and goals for health and phys ed across Canada. And really the main goal is to be healthy and physically active for life. Pretty consistent all the way across, but it does result in some regional nuances. And so some of our provinces blend health and physical education together and it's one subject. Some of them pull it apart, so physical education is separate. My province here in Alberta is just undergoing a curriculum renewal. So we have a brand new kindergarten to grade 6 curriculum that's being implemented that is called physical education and wellness. So we're kind of kicking the tires on that one a little bit to see where it goes. But at the same time, I mentioned Physical and Health Education Canada, or as we call PHE Canada. And so we are the national body for teachers to connect and work with each other. And we're just in the process of completing, it's just in the publication stage, of a set of national competencies for curriculum. So what we wanted to do there, and we used to have one back in like 2000, and we can't dictate to the provinces what curriculum they can do, but what we can do is kind of say, here's the standard at the national level, here's the bar that we feel everyone should meet. And so we brought together curriculum writers and teachers and professors from across Canada to write these competencies. So we're excited about those, and they're meant to be used by curriculum developers in the provinces to just to help as they revise and change their phys ed standards. So that's just a quick snapshot. I hope that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, brilliant. And like you said, is it PHE Canada? That's like the kind of overarching body, and that allows you guys to like liaise and kind of share ideas and share best practice and a kind of a pathway going forward.
Yeah, correct. So each province, for example, hosts, like they have their own phys ed association, Health and Phys Ed Association, mm-hmm. and they host conferences, but we also do a national conference every year, and right. it moves around the country. So we don't just do it in Ottawa, the capital, we move around so that different people have an opportunity to come. And our board has representatives from every province and territory,
right? Okay,
as well as some invited reps. So it's pretty inclusive, it's pretty broad, but we're always looking at how we can really push just high quality health and phys ed across Canada.
Interesting. And then lastly then, so from a kind of national point of view, what is like the policies in place for Canada in terms of how much PE is offered in school? Is there like a minimum that needs to be adhered to? Or is that?
No, it's all down to the provinces. Right, so okay. some have a, like for example, in Alberta here at the elementary level, it's 10% of the curriculum is health and phys ed. So 10% of the time, but that's a recommendation.
Okay.
So some schools do more, some do less. So it varies across the country.
Interesting. Yeah, because in Scotland, it's like 2 hours of physical education in primary school and then 2 periods of mandatory physical education from the first year of high school until they get into their fourth year of high school. So I was just wondering if it was anything like that, but you just kind of go by a percentage, a bit more flexibility with it.
Yeah, there's more flexibility. Our organizations across the country, especially at the primary level, we advocate for quality daily physical education. And so looking for, because kids tend to value what they get every day. So if they get math every day, like, oh, math must be important. But if they only get phys ed twice a week, then it's like, well, maybe it's not as important.
Yeah.
And then in the secondary schools, it's a little different. It depends on, you know, what stream kids are going in and you know, where things are happening. But yeah, no national guidelines, just provincial pieces.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Thanks very much for sharing that and giving us an insight into what it's like in Canada. Shall we go with Dana next, if you don't mind sharing with us? That'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I think there will be some similarities with the Czech Republic, with Peter, I think. but so firstly, maybe we've got like a two-leveled curriculum in Slovakia. Actually, we are quite a small country, so we don't have like any differences in terms of having provinces or something like that, or areas, so which means we've got like 5.5 million in the country. So everyone is supposed to follow the national curriculum. That's the first level of the curriculum. And then we've got the school level of the curriculum. So that means that the schools can a little adapt the curriculum to their needs, especially when they need some specific conditions or something they want to, for example, consider with respect to the geography of the city or something like that. But in general, the national curriculum prescribes 2 hours per week of PE, starting with the primary age, which means in Slovakia it's 6 years old children. And we've got actually 2 hours per week, 45 minutes hours, so 45 minutes, two per week until actually the high school almost, which means like the 17, 18, 19 almost years. So it's actually the same. In primary education, so which means 6 to 10, 6 to 11, there's a possibility for the school curriculum to extend the number of lessons. So the schools can choose to have more lessons per week if they want to, but this is really depending on the preferences of each school. So this is not something what's prescribed by the national curriculum, but it is recommended. So 2 hours for sure, and then 3 hours in case they want to have it. We also had a quiet reform of the preschool curriculum, which is like 3 to 6 years old children. We've got like, it's not really, it's a kind of physical education, but it's called like the education area, health and movement. So this is something what we try to focus on. And yeah, we've got some prescribed number of amount of minutes per week, how many minutes should the children move also during the like maybe focused, I would say, lessons in the kindergarten. So this is something what is prescribed. And yeah, I think this is basically about the curriculum. So maybe we can extend it later on if necessary. What about the policies? I just have to say that at this moment, Slovakia is in the process of the changes, of the curricular changes, because we are very much depending on the European Union support, especially related to the support of money based on the situation during the COVID pandemic. So we would like to use this money also to develop the curriculum further. And at this moment, there are quite a lot of discussions on extending the number of lessons per week for PE, but it's still not finalized. So we will see whether we will manage something different in the near future.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing. It seems very different to Canada in the sense that obviously it's a much smaller country, and obviously it's something that can be applied at a national level. And it seems very similar to Scotland as well, where we have our 2 hours of PE or our two periods. And then it seems very contextual to the school. You're able to have that flexibility to suit the young people that are in front of you to the PE that you think is obviously most suited to your school. So no, thanks for sharing that, Dana. Peter, would you like to come in there? Do you have any glaring differences from Slovakia, or is there quite a lot of similarities there?
Yes, as Jana said, there is lots of similarities, and of course there are some differences, because we've been actually not one country anymore for some decades. So there has been some changes, but actually not big one. Well, guys, it's really interesting. I wanted to ask you, have you seen the movie Pulp Fiction by Quentin Tarantino? Do you know the film?
Yeah.
Do you know the first scene that is they are driving the cab and talking about the differences between Europe and the world behind the ocean?
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, but I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, there are two guys, Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta, and they are chatting about differences between Europe and the States, you know, and there Samuel E. Jackson is asking Quentin John Travolta about what the differences are. And he says, that's really funny. They have really the same stuff, but it's different. And now he describes Like, for example, you can in McDonald's in Europe go buy a glass of beer or something like that. It's exactly the same when comparing, you know, the physical education or the school systems here in Europe and overseas. It's really so many little differences that when you put all together, there are so many, like hundreds or thousands, that the outcome is absolutely different. And it's so interesting to compare all the stuff. So it doesn't matter where we start. Every time we will find little differences that will cause huge differences at the end. I also would like to say that you are young, but you might know from school that it's about 30 years that, or actually more, that our both countries actually had that really amazing time when the communist system stopped, you know. And after these 30 years, school system is something that is really difficult to change. You cannot do it like this. It's really difficult. So something is changing quite slowly. Something actually might be good even from the communist times. But what we are trying to do, I think, similarly with Slovakia, and what I can see is actually the tendency to take a little bit more ideas from you guys, from the Anglophone countries. We call it competence-oriented teaching, and somehow we are trying to stress more the outcomes, competencies or knowledges, and less concentrate on the content of teaching, less concentrate on the teachers-oriented teaching, and more orient to students-oriented teaching. That's the tendencies that are, from my point of view, major philosophical roads or tracks, and it can be seen in many areas at school, how you organize the class, how you evaluate the outcomes, how you organize the skiing courses, for example. It can be seen everywhere. So we are also trying to revise the curriculum. Actually, after 20 years, the first curriculum revision we had about 20 years ago, and after having the new written designed curricula for 20 years, we are trying to do actually very similar things again, because your world and the world overseas, it's really difficult for some people to understand in our countries. So we are trying to give it the second go, explain the people that, for example, active learning and active teaching, it's something else than passive studying and just listening to some information from the teacher. And that, for example, when you make groups and when you try to solve some problems, that it is also a good method how to learn something, and maybe much better. But this is something that it hasn't been here used for many years. So, and you know, it's, as I say, it's 30 years after the revolution, but still it's quite, you know, quite strongly seen here in the educational system. So it's really interesting. We believe that the changes, and for example, chats like this with you can help a lot, especially when listening to concrete examples, because I think that we know probably the theories and but the, for example, the projects and chances like tonight to speak about concrete situations and stuff, that's what can help us a lot, and that's what we are interested in very much.
Thanks so much for sharing, Peter. Yeah, I like what you said about concrete examples. I think that's what Clark and I's main objective from the podcast was at the very beginning. It was getting people on to share their experiences in PE and different subjects within PE, and actually trying to take away examples of how things work in action so that you can take things from the podcast and perhaps try it in your school or implement it into your practice. And I think that's what's such a unique thing about the podcast, bringing people on from, it's so accessible to bring people together like what we're doing tonight, and potentially sharing examples and experiences and how things are done across overseas. So I think it's a very unique opportunity, and it's hopefully this is only the start of something good with it.
Okay, but if I can say something more, it doesn't mean that we think that we should only learn from you, but I think that we are involved in many, many projects, European projects, Dana and myself. In this EUPI, European Physical Education Association, we've been really involved in like maybe 20 projects now since the beginning that we became members of EUPI. So there is lots of knowledge that we've got, but still, you know, you can refine and make better everything. That's the thing. Yeah,
I think it's just trying to make things accessible for people, and that's where. Like what I've found since beginning my teaching journey, like although it's only been five, I've probably been teaching the least amount of time out of everybody here, but definitely. And it's, yeah, every single year we're always trying to improve things, even in our own school's curriculum. And it's time, trying to find time to make sure you're looking at like current research or having these conversations and just making it accessible for people. Because obviously, as we all know, teachers are quite tight for time when you're in the midst of it all, when you're really busy in your school and stuff like that, and it's trying to access this sort of information so that we can continue to improve and learn from each other. So with that being said, we'll move on to the final two then. So Heidi, would you like to kick us off?
Sure, thank you. It was really interesting to hear about Canada and Slovakia because in many ways we have a similar system in Finland, and especially with Slovakia, I find it very, very similar. So firstly, we have a national PE curriculum that all schools follow in Finland, and also the lesson allocation of the subject is also national. So all the schools follow the same amount of PE education or PE teaching in schools in different levels. And in the comprehensive school from during grades 1 to 9, which is from 7 to 15 years of age, they have roughly 90 minutes, which is like 2 lessons per week of compulsory PE. And then they have optional courses, and each school can then decide how many optional courses they offer. And they are also in the primary school and in the secondary school, so different courses there. So that's an opportunity for the school to offer more PE for the students. So our system is very consistent throughout the country, which helps us. And also later when we talk about the education of the PE teachers, it helps because we all come from the same university and same sports faculty, that we have been all taught the same way. We have the same pedagogical kind of mindset. So it helps us be very similar in the education throughout the country. What helps us also lately in the past 5 years, we have developed this fitness kind of following monitoring system. It's called MOVE, it's like a national physical functional capacity monitoring and feedback system. And we are measuring 5th and 8th grade pupils, students every year. And then it produces information that can be then combined with the extensive health checkup of the nurses and nurses of the school and the doctor, school doctors as well, so that we can follow the students' well-being through that. And the main purpose of the system is to encourage the pupils to independently take care of the physical functional capacity. And then also the data is recorded to a national database. And through that, the level of the fitness of the young people in Finland can be reliably followed, which is an amazing thing. Then we can also react in the changes of the physical fitness of young people. And at the moment, actually, we are in a situation where we have just received this year's results, which have shown that 40% of fifth and eighth graders in Finland have the fitness level in a level that might threaten their health and well-being. So there has been a lot of discussion in the media lately, in the past week, actually. And so there are the politicians and decision makers have brought up this question of what to do. So as an association, we are now taking a big role in the discussion of what to do with the physical fitness level of the young people and the passive lifestyle that they're leading. And that's a really interesting situation actually now, because we feel like we have a possibility to affect the future of the young students. So we have two lessons per week in the comprehensive school, and we feel that it's not, by far, not enough. And we would like to see them have much more physical education in their everyday life, because we feel that physical education is actually giving them a broad basis for movement. And we are focusing on skills teaching skills in physical education in Finland, and that gives them a possibility for a healthy movement in the future, and also possibility to lead an active lifestyle. That's one of the goals. So there's lots going on, and at the moment we feel like we would like to develop the system a little bit, so it's not in a level that we are happy with.
Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating about the MOVE initiative, like the monitoring, the feedback that you spoke about there. Just one little question on that. So see, prior to, so do the children have like the monitors on? Is it something like a heart rate monitor, or is it like a...
No, it includes different kind of measure. It has six measurements, and it has three measurements of flexibility. It has two measurements of strength, upper body and lower body strength, and it has one measurement of endurance. So it's kind of a very versatile measurement system. And the measurements are made every year in August, September, and during the PE lessons, and then we are kind of recording it and then... Yes. Sending it to the national database.
And do you do like lessons with the young people? I'm just fascinated about that concept. So do you educate the children about these different like measurements that they're doing, so that they're kind of, they know what a kind of national average for like good would be or below average, or do they have that knowledge? So it's kind of the kind of accountability aspect of it. Is that what you're trying to kind of promote, if you like?
Yeah, sorry. So the idea is that they get feedback themselves from the teachers. We have a feedback form for them, and in the feedback form there are certain the results are in certain categories. And the lowest category is a face with less smiley face, a straight line of the mouth. And then the middle is like a little bit smiley face, and the highest level and is then a very smiley face. So they get an instant feedback through that. And then also there are suggestions how to improve their fitness in that area of fitness when they get the feedback. And then also these results are brought to the health checks with the nurse, so they can discuss more, maybe starting a hobby that would develop their fitness level and so forth. So there is a system following up in a way, how to improve that fitness level if it's low.
Yeah, no, that's really fascinating. It seems, that's quite, seems a lot more in depth than what we kind of do in our country, certainly. So I think that's, and it also gives you reliable, accurate, like proper factual information about each individual's fitness level that you can actually use to inform your teaching or politics, like you alluded to. So that's really interesting. Ava, would you like to finish us off with that, and then we can move on to the next question, because I feel like we're kind of getting on a little bit. So off you go.
Yes. Okay, thanks. So it's 20% of high school students do not do enough exercise. So the same situation there. And in the school, in high school, students have two compulsory courses in their three years of education. And one course contains 75 minutes per week for half a year. So there are three national optional courses, and schools has the autonomy to decide on which schools own optional courses they offer, and the amount of schools own optional PE courses varies. And we have, for example, 8 of those optional courses. And in secondary vocational school, there is one course of enhancing the ability to work, and it includes physical education and health education. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing. And the difference between physical, because we just have, I suppose we have health and wellbeing in the UK, or in Scotland, we have like health and wellbeing courses, but could you like give us a little kind of insight? What's the difference between like physical education and health education? Like, what are the kind of clear differences between those two? Because a few of the countries have spoke about that as well.
So we have two different subjects in Finland. So physical education is practical, mm-hmm. and sport, and then another subject is theoretical theory,
right, okay.
About health,
right?
We also have final exams with health.
And can I add to that a couple of things? So yeah. The health education is not only about physical health, it's about physical, mental and social health. So it's got kind of like it's psychology, it's about physical health also. There's like all the areas of health are covered there. Mental health, social relationships, dealing with stress, environmental health, there's sexuality, all of that is included in it. So it's like more versatile than just physical education and health related to that.
So is it mainly the physical educators, physical education teachers that are responsible for delivering those areas of the curriculum then?
Health education is a separate subject, so you right. have to qualify separately and study
right,
separately.
Got you.
But many PE teachers do that because it's in the same faculty.
Right, okay. Study.
But also some biology teachers, some home economics teachers are teaching yeah. health education as well.
Interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. No, that was really interesting to hear what it's like, how PE is delivered, what the kind of national policies are like across the different countries there. So thanks to everybody for your very valuable inputs. Clark, I'll pass back over to you now.
Yep. So I'm going to speak about, I'm going to ask you, there's a question came in from one of the members of SAT-PE wanting to know in each country, how many hours or years of input do teachers get to become fully trained as a PE teacher? And, you know, once they're fully trained, do they have a probation year or do they go straight into school to teach PE? So we will we'll start with Dana in Slovakia. We'll kind of move around this one a bit quicker, I think, just because of the nature of the question.
Yeah, okay. Actually, in Slovakia, it's quite simple, easy, because if you want to teach primary school and then up all the other levels, you need to have the master's degree, which means every teacher, also physical education teachers, they need to finish firstly the bachelor and the master's degree, which means in bachelor it's 180 credits and in master 120 credits. If they are specialized in PE, they can either study just PE as specialization, and then most of the subjects are actually covered with the specialization of PE. So it's quite full of the topics related to PE, health, and all the others. But in primary schools, we mostly have the generalist teachers. So the generalist teachers have less subjects related to PE because they need to focus on all the other subjects as well, which means the maths, languages, etc. But still, when we had a small comparison among the European countries, I think the number of credits is still quite high. It's not that high as in PE specialization, because this is not possible, actually. But yeah, it's a certain amount. It would be like 10% or 15% of the amount of the full number of credits just for PE. What we have some strength, I think, is the school placement, because all our teachers need to have in almost every year some school placements in Slovakia. They start just with observations and then they follow with individual teaching as well. And this counts also for the specialization as well as for the generalist teachers. So also the generalist teachers need to have school placement in PE to be able to teach. When they finish, when they graduate the master's degree, so then they don't have any like starting period. It's called like a novel teacher, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that they have less lessons to teach or anything like that. So actually they have a teacher, like a tutor, who is with them for the first year, but it's actually the same amount of lessons as the regular teacher. There is no like difference.
So how many years does it take to become a PE teacher in Slovakia?
Actually 5 years.
Five?
At university, yeah, 5 years. Right. So and 3 years bachelor, 2 years master. Yeah, 5 years together.
Okay. And then with primary teachers, do you have PE teachers in every primary school? Or is it just...
No. We've got, actually, this is the decision of the, mostly of the management of the school, so the head of the school. Sometimes they prefer to have PE teachers also in primary level, but this really depends on the number of teachers and the size of the school. So there are a lot of other, I would say, factors that influence the situation, but there is the possibility to have the PE teacher in primary school if in case they decide, but mostly there are generalist teachers.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to Finland. Anyone from Finland who wants to offer? Eva?
Thanks. All teachers in Finland are required to have a master's degree in education, and PE teachers are masters of sports science. And it contains about 5 years of university studies and 310 credits. One credit is 27 hours.
Okay.
So we have only one sport faculty in Finland. It's in Jyväskylä, University of Jyväskylä. And about 5% of applicants are accepted. And no, because everyone goes through the same education system, the methodology of teaching is very similar throughout the country.
5% are accepted?
Yeah, and about...
Very, very popular then?
Yeah, very popular. And around 1,000 would like to go there to study.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting that it's master's profession, because Scotland, I think we're moving towards that, but you don't have to have a master's. So it's four years for Scotland. Doug?
Yeah, thanks. This is fascinating to listen to. I wish our system was as simple as some of the, not as simple, but as clear as some of the other ones. Our degrees are mostly 4-year bachelor degrees, but then we also have some combined degrees, which are 5 years, which would be like a bachelor of kinesiology plus a bachelor of education. You don't need a master's to teach, but one of our universities in Ontario does have they shifted their program. So you have to enter with a bachelor's degree in something and then get a master's degree to teach. But so it's a little different depending whether you want to be an elementary generalist or you want to be a PE specialist. And we do have specialists in elementary or primary and secondary, but it kind of varies how much time they need. But that's kind of the main piece in terms of the broad year. We do connect with each other to look at how we do things. We've got a research group across the country of people involved in physical and health education, teacher education, So we connect and share ideas and go back and forth, but it really comes down to the individual province, what they will accept. And there's usually more emphasis placed on phys ed teacher specialization, if you want to call it that, at the secondary level than elementary. Mm. I'll leave it there because I know we're short on time.
That's fine. So see within the elementary and in the primary phase, would you say more schools have a PE teacher than not?
I would say overall probably less, but it depends on the province.
Okay, so it's not uncommon then, because in Scotland it's pretty uncommon to not have a PE teacher in primary.
Yeah, here it's more common than I would like it to be. On the same front, I do think a generalist teacher who has had quality training in physical education are some of the most effective teachers because they can deal with students across all subjects. So
yep.
You're having trouble with group work in history or English class, you can, you know, use cooperative games in phys ed to solve that. And I find that generalist teachers, if they have the training, can do that really well. So sometimes we use the term specialist, and it kind of, like, I also know, just to be really honest, I know some very poor specialist teachers who are really sport coaches. They're not phys ed teachers, but they get called specialists. So I think we have to be a little bit careful there maybe, but the intent is good.
Yeah, I think across the board, primary teachers don't have enough training. In Scotland, they only get, 2 hours out of a full 4 years of PE input. I might be wrong there, but it's definitely around 2 hours.
Or per term, two hours, maybe per academic year.
Yeah, it's not
to fit in for it.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
From a PE point of view. But we'll finish off with Peter then over in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, guys, I have to laugh again because, one method that I like using in my teaching classes and in the curricular delivery is the method of shameless cloning, I call it. And I'm happy that you are recording this program, because I could absolutely shameless clone what Dana said. Actually, it's really, really similar what the stuff that we have in the Czech Republic. It's really, our PE teachers have to have a degree. They have to have master's degree. It takes them 5 years to become PE teachers. Well, I would say almost the same, what I would like to point out again is exactly what I said at the beginning, and what Doug now said, that he wished to have it so easy to understand and to clear. It's exactly the difference that I was pointing to at the beginning. That's the differences in Europe, and especially in our region, to differences overseas. So the amount of possibilities, it seems to be complicated, but it gives you the chance to pick exactly what you want, what your prerequisites are, and that's from my point of view where we should work harder and to explain people that the differences are actually, and the more chances we give the people to pick from and choose from, the better actually the quality would be, if we do it correctly and if we do it in a fair way and so on. So and this is exactly what happens actually in the class then, in the curriculum delivery. If we would deliver the curriculum exactly the same to everybody in the class, then we would educate exactly the same people, and not specialists in different parts of the knowledge in the world. So as I say, this is on each level actually it's quite similar differences and similarities, as I was pointing to at the beginning.
Yeah, I think there's been a across the board there for that question. There's very, very similar routes into PE teaching across the countries. Been a slight difference in Scotland, I think, with it only being 4 years. But we'll move on to Lewis's question.
Okay, so my next one, for you all. What would you consider to be your top three priorities for physical education? So again, maybe just a personal opinion then for everybody. We'll start with Peter, if you want to kick us off with this one. Straight back on.
Okay, if I understood you correctly, what are three priorities?
Your top three priorities, what would you like from your kind of experience, what do you think we should be aiming for?
Yeah, well, my priority would be something that we now currently call physical literacy goals in PE. And so to explain people what really physical literacy is. And that is also, it is not only about physical fitness, but it is also about mental strength and how to help the people, find their own self-confidence, self-esteem, and all these self-concepts. That's exactly what we were, not allowed to learn in the past. And that is, from my point of view, the most important thing, that you become self and not you, that you don't become somebody's product. So that's my absolutely the most important priority. And I think that PE is absolutely good, and also health education. Our health education is quite similar what Yuka described. So we have also, health education teachers in the Czech Republic. And I think that those two subjects could be really, really strong and good in delivering these self-concepts also, how to become your own man. And that means healthy, that means somebody who can take responsibility for your own life. Yeah, maybe I said five times the same, but from my point of view, that's the most important priority.
Yeah, Andres, so almost developing that kind of sense of self-awareness, I feel like, and being accountable and all those sort of really important life skills that physical education provides, obviously the ideal platform for all the different kind of situations that you can put the young people in. So yeah, no, I really, really like that one. We'll move on to Dana now.
Okay, so I don't want to copy Peter, but that was one of my priorities as well. What I would like to add, I've got two more. One is, I would like to relate it a little bit more to Slovakia, that we feel that maybe we would like to have more children included, even though PE is for all children, it's a mandatory subject, but we still feel that not, especially on higher levels, not really the primary level, that's quite fine. But on the higher levels, I think we still lack on involving all the children to be able to really profit from physical education lessons. So I would say that we have some, we could do something with the more like inclusion and inclusive PE. So that would be one of my priority as well, especially in Slovakia. And one more thing, we talk a lot in Slovakia about the status of PE in general in the society among the parents. Maybe among also the specialists for healthcare, because I really like the module in Finland. That, for example, the monitoring of fitness is very much related to the healthcare system, and we would like to have something very similar, because we feel that the healthcare and the education sectors are not that much related as we would like to have in Slovakia. So they are quite separated, and even though we try to show the benefits of PE in terms of health. It's not really working that well as we would like to see that. So that would be like my idea of having some priorities for physical education in terms of also the cultural background in Slovakia. So thanks.
No, thank you for sharing that, Dana. And I also think as well, like what you said about the thing about the monitoring in Finland, I think that can also help almost put like a value, because sometimes it's hard to communicate the value of physical education to a teenager, and I think that really helps, because you're actually getting some data, you're getting factual information, like I said before, and that might help to kind of show the value of it that little bit more, and the importance of it. So no, that's an interesting
maybe just to add shortly, I think it is much stronger than also when you want to explain to parents why PE is so important. So when you have the healthcare behind, so I think this makes it even more important as a subject itself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's sometimes one of the challenges as well, isn't it? If you don't have the support from parents, they maybe don't see the value in taking physical education as maybe a certificated subject later on in school. They don't see the value of it, or they'll maybe write their child a note to get out of PE in a certain day. So yeah, it certainly would help.
Yeah, I think as well.
It's a good take on it.
With what you're saying about the fitness side of it, it's also like physical education. So it's a physical subject. And it should be, you know, related to physical exercise. And I think that fitness element, you know, makes it a priority, because I think in Scotland we've maybe moved away from that a little bit in terms of the physical aspect, and you're trying to develop teamwork and problem solving, and you're kind of losing the activity levels. So, yeah, I think that's something we could learn from as well.
Doug, do you want to give us your priorities? Physical education.
Yeah, and again, this is just really interesting listening to the conversation. I think we have to make sure that physical education is a valued part of education as a whole. And if you look at education as a whole, the main purpose is citizenship. We're trying to help kids develop so they can be contributing members of society in really good ways. And we can't do that without physical education. If people don't know how to move, they don't know why to move, they don't know how to make those choices. So that's a big factor, is just, and it's been mentioned already a little bit by Peter and Dana, but with the values and the connections. And so I think one of the ways that I've been exploring with some colleagues across Canada, but into Ireland as well, is this idea of meaningful physical education, and how do we provide experiences that children can find meaningful, children and youth. And we have some research background for that, but we're learning more all the time. And just looking at how we can do that, because that does connect. Because if you just run a fitness test in a school, and Lewis, you mentioned this too, you know, if there's no education around it and they're just getting a score, they don't even know what it means. They don't even know how to improve it. And so, yes, that stuff is important, but it has to be in the right context. And I think even Clark, your comment about losing some of that fitness stuff, I agree to a point, but we don't have enough time. Like if we really just want to improve kids' fitness, they can just walk. They could just walk for an hour of PE every day and we'd improve their health. But phys ed is about so much more. So I think we have to be careful. Like, no, we don't want to ignore it, but we have to make sure to address it properly. So I'll stop there, because I could go on for a long time, but this is a really fun conversation. We should all get together at a conference and continue the conversation sometime.
No, I agree. And I think it's the way we're trying to do it is just striking the balance between actually educating the young people and keeping the sort of physical element to it as well. And it's just trying to encompass that in the short time that we have with them, I suppose. So thanks for sharing, Doug. Heidi, do you want to kick us off from Finland with your take on this one?
Thank you. Yeah, really interesting to hear everybody's point of view, and I actually agree with everybody. Like, this, it's really important that we keep the importance of physical education in the everyday talking in the society, and that everybody understands that this is a really valuable part of their health, but also their learning and their everyday kind of skills of choosing motion instead of the gadgets that they use every day, and just giving the young people today a different kind of view from how to live a life, how to lead a healthy life. And at the moment, we're seeing a lot of threats to that through the passive lifestyle and all the computers and phones and stuff like that. That's taking their time and they're making them less mobile in their life. So yeah, the most important things in physical education, I think, is to, there are actually three important goals. One is promoting the physical functional capacity, as you all mentioned, but also the mental and social functional capacity of the students, because in the Finnish curriculum, we state that the physical part contains the fundamental motor skill teaching, which is really important for their future active lifestyle, so that they know how to move safely and so that they have different kind of skills so that they can take on any kind of hobby or activity later on in life. And also the active lessons, like we mentioned, or I think Eva-Greta mentioned earlier, that that our lessons are only practice. There's no theory side during the lessons. We do teach them why we do things, and we teach them how the body functions, but it's through discussion in the lessons while we're doing things actively. And then using a big variety of sports as tools for the fundamental movement skills to learn them, that's in the center of the teaching, really, in the content of the teaching. But then the mental part, so the positive experiences of exercising is really important, so that they can learn to enjoy movement, learn to enjoy exercising in their own way. Like, everybody has their own history of movement, everybody has their own sports that they like, and they should be able to choose. So that's what we're emphasizing as well, so that they get positive experiences from physical education of the lessons. And that hopefully promotes a physically active lifestyle in the future. So positive attitude towards exercising. And then the social part is that we try to enhance the emotion and interaction skills during the lessons, because that's a really important life skill. So we do a lot of pair work and teamwork during the lessons, and also try to teach the students how to be a good team workers and how to kind of work together with others. So those are actually the three most important things: physical, mental, and social development through doing PE. Quite broad answer.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is, again, like, you can draw a lot of the same similarities from, especially in our, we call it our broad general education curriculum. So that's the first year of high school to the third year of high school. And we've got those kind of four areas that we've got. It's like the physical competencies, physical fitness, cognitive skills, and their personal qualities. So it's all like the kind of mental, emotional, social, and the physical side of it. And that's what we use, like a broad range of sports, to try and cover those different benchmarks that kind of give that holistic development of the child. So yeah, that's a kind of same similarity as Scotland. Eva, do you have anything you want to add to that? Is there anything you would like to share?
Oh, thanks. I agree, Heidi.
So are you happy with that then? Is a lot of good insights in there of different priorities, and a lot of good discussion there. So this is a question I've been looking forward to getting the answers from. So Clark, I'll let you kick us off with this one. A nice way to finish tonight's episode.
Yeah, I think with the last question, we could probably have done a full podcast on that one question. But we'll move on to the final one. What's one thing that makes PE in your country or school unique? So you can pick, you know, your country as a whole or within your context of where you work. So that will be the final one. I mean, you can touch on assessment. I would quite like to know, like, how PE is assessed in your countries. Something I've been meaning to ask the full podcast, but we can maybe do that one off air if it doesn't come up in this question. So we'll go with Doug in Canada then. So what's one thing that makes it unique?
Yeah, I think, as I kind of started off, the relationship between the federal system and the provincial, territorial, and even though it's not mandated like that, the federal system can take a lead. We do a lot of relationship building across the country. We do a lot of sharing, a lot of growth. That's really on people's volunteer table, so to speak. So I think that's probably one of the things that's most unique, because many other areas have a national curriculum or have a, you know, even in the States, although each state is responsible, they do have their national standards, which they can adhere to. So it's just something we're developing and working on, but the connections are really important.
Okay. And then Doug, just finally, could I ask, like, how do you assess, like, PE in Canada, like, for secondary school? So 11 to 18. Is it practical assessments, or is there theory elements to it as well?
There's a mix. And so we have an outcomes-based curriculum here in Alberta. So Peter was mentioning before, you know, looking at outcomes. So we specifically look at the outcomes that students are supposed to be able to do. And those are assessed in a variety of ways. It could be a physical task. It could be, we don't do a lot of written tests, but there are some. There's some theory involved. Some, you know, when we talk about games play, we look at strategies and tactics and using TGFU as a framework and helping students understand those kind of things. So it'd be quite a variety. I think it'd be performance tasks where it's not necessarily like I'm going to make, you know, how many baskets can you make out of 10 on a basketball court? Because that really doesn't assess anything, but more, you know, if the outcome is that students should understand components of fitness, then the assessment might be developing a fitness plan, a personal fitness plan that's contextual to the community they live in, just as an example.
Yeah. Makes sense. So it's not about their skills and the performance as such, it's more different outcomes.
Yeah, the skills and performance would be embedded in those outcomes, right? Okay. So, but it's more focused on that piece.
Okay. Thank you. We'll come back to Finland then and get your kind of thoughts on what's unique in Finland. Eva or Heidi?
Do you ever want us? Do you want me to go?
Could you please repeat the question?
Okay, so it's just, is there one thing about Finland that makes it special in terms of PE in the country or in your school that you work in? If you had to pick one thing.
Okay, thanks. Our national sport, Finnish baseball, which all students love, is very unique.
Finnish baseball.
Yeah. And then our school has a big ballroom dance gala in the medieval castle of Turku.
Dance?
Yeah, dancing gala.
Dancing gala. Nice. Lewis would love that. His dancing's quite good, quite strong.
Yeah, that's my forte. I'm joking. That's similar to Scotland though. We do Scottish country dancing. So this is a time of year around about Christmas time. We do, I don't know if it's similar. It's like you work in pairs and groups and it's like ceilidh dancing. So we do a block of that in the lead up to Christmas, which you wouldn't think, but a lot of the young people that are maybe disengaged in PE absolutely love that and they get really involved in it. So it's as much as it sounds not very inclusive, it actually turns out that it can be a very inclusive activity to do.
Is it Finnish baseball, did you say, Eva?
Yes, Finnish baseball.
That's good. It'd be good to get you to send us the rules and we could introduce it. That'd be good. Okay, finally we'll go with Dana.
Could I continue with the assessment of Finland?
Yeah, that'd be great. Actually, I was going to ask you that. Yep.
Sorry to interrupt. So the assessment of PE in Finland is divided into 10 criteria, and half of the criteria are about skills, and the skills are divided into different categories. There is one category which is like kind of perception motor skills, that's finding solutions in different situations of physical activity, for example, in ball games, about how you move on the field, what kind of decisions you make in the game, for example. And then the one category of the skills is balance and locomotor skills, so basically the motor skills. And then one category is the equipment handling skills. So the skills comes from those three mainly. And then we also have one sport only mentioned in the assessment, which is swimming, because we have 200,000 lakes in Finland and the sea as well. So swimming is a really important life skill. So that's the one mandatory sport that we have to teach. But basically our curriculum is based on teaching skills and not different sports. So this was changed about 10 years ago. Our new curriculum is from 2016. And so what we want to do is teach different kind of skills that enable a student to do different kind of sports in their life. And that has changed a little bit of the view of the assessment as well. So we cannot really assess particular kind of movements or how do you say, like certain decided things, but we have to have a broader view of what the skills are within the different sports and exercises that we do. So that comes with the education of the teachers, that you can actually find those movement skills in the different sports that we do. And then half of the assessment comes from actions in the lesson. So and those fall into categories of working and making effort. So that's, of course, assessed in all of the lessons. And then we have safe and appropriate action. So the way the student acts in the lesson according to the rules, or they follow the instructions so that they can keep the whole group safe is one of the assessment criterion. And then interaction and working skills, fair play and responsibility in a group, and then responsible and independent working is one of them. So kind of like broad social skills, and also the ability to kind of steer their own actions in the lessons. And then the only thing that we assess that is written work is the goal of the teaching is for us to teach the students how to assess their own fitness level and know how to develop it. But we are not assessing their level of fitness, but the knowledge of knowing how to make a difference in their own fitness. So that's how we assess in Finland.
Brilliant. So see the criteria. If you had follow instructions, teamwork, fair play, are you just given a tick if they display that one lesson, or is that over a course of a block of 8 weeks? How would, like, what rating do you give it, or how does that work?
We generally, the schools can decide their frequency of assessment. So we have, usually we have two assessments in a year. So when we start the school year in August, the first assessment comes now just before Christmas, before the Christmas holiday. Mm-hmm. And then the whole year assessment is then in May when we end the school year. So in that assessment, that's a compulsory one for everybody. So that assesses the actions of and the level of the whole year.
And is that just a one lesson assessment over one day?
No. Throughout the year, it's constant assessment. Every single lesson. Right. Yeah.
And you have to finish it by May, by the end.
Yeah. So you keep like a record of, you know, maybe different sports. And so we've decided where we, for example, assess balance in locomotor school, which lessons, not in every single one, and where we then assess equipment handling skills, for example, racket games and so on. Mm-hmm. So we kind of don't use all of them in all of the lessons, but basically throughout the year, we collect the evidence of the skills.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks very much for that. That was useful. Dana, then we'll come to Slovakia, and what makes Slovakia unique?
I think it's a really difficult question, and but I was thinking about like what really makes us unique, and I would come to teachers a little bit, because I think our teachers are quite passionate and committed, maybe also in other countries as well, but the difference is that they are not well paid. They do it, yes, almost for nothing, and they don't have good infrastructure. At this moment, we have some data that more than 30% of Slovak schools do not have a gym or facilities for PE lessons, which means they need to somehow manage the PE lessons anywhere in the school or outside the school. So I would see that this is something a little bit unique, that even though they don't have good conditions, even though that they are not that well paid, but they still manage to somehow perform in physical education lessons. So I would see this as a good sign, and hopefully we will develop all the other sides as well, so that the teachers really deserve the place where they can really develop the PE further, because I would not see anything so special for Slovakia comparing to other countries. And when we come to the outcomes or to the monitoring or maybe some assessments, we've got the outcome standards in curriculum, in the national curriculum. We've got some outcome standards for each level of education. So usually it's evaluated after each level, like primary school, then lower secondary, higher secondary. So each level has certain outcome standards, which means usually after 3 or 4 years, they should achieve that. It's a little bit struggling in practice because still we've got a lot of teachers, especially all the teachers who are very much willing to compare the students among themselves, like comparing their results, fitness results, testing results, and so on. But we try to focus more on individual development. So all the recommendations go to considering the individual development of a child, and we try to more focus on also the other aspects of physical literacy, not only the physical one. So this is our commitment, what we try to do, but we have the outcome standards based in national curriculum.
Okay, sounds as if you're working really well under some tough conditions in some of the schools. So
I'm not sure whether it's good to admit that, but unfortunately this is the situation now. So we've got the objective data and we need to work with that.
I'm sure the only way is up. Thanks for sharing that with us. So finally, with Czech Republic, with Peter.
Yeah, thank you. You know, three years ago, I wrote a book called A Critical Analysis of Physical Education Curriculum in the Czech Republic. And the first sentence of the book speaks like this. This book is about physical education curriculum in the Czech Republic, and it is also about dichotomies. And I would say that the specialty in the Czech Republic are the dichotomies, actually. It's quite a little bit resembles what Dana said, but I maybe speak a little bit, more theoretically about the stuff in the Czech Republic. That's really interesting. For example, the term curriculum, you know, it's quite new to our region. We haven't been using this term for a long time. So it means that, for example, the dichotomy between didactics and curriculum studies, you know, and now competing these two theories in education, it's an interesting dichotomy, actually. I'm pretty sure that if I ask Doug about the history of didactic in Canada, he wouldn't say much about that. I'm not sure, actually. But my friends from England, when they were asked about history of didactics in England, they were laughing because they said, we don't know what didactics actually meant, so, you know, some time ago. But this is something that is actually hitting at each other now in the Czech Republic, for example. Also the traditional approach to teaching that we used to have in the past, and something that's different, maybe what Yuka actually very, very, you know, that she touched in her speech, is the competence-oriented or applied-oriented PE. This is also a dichotomy in the Czech Republic.
When you say the traditional model, was that like skill development, like trying to develop the next athlete? See the traditional model you were speaking about for PE, to develop the next athlete, like in terms of developing skill?
Yeah, well, I was just about to explain what the traditional approach is and what the competence and applied oriented PE is. And it's actually a theoretical thing, and it's actually in the explanation what curriculum is. You know, in our region, when you say curriculum, it either means the curriculum documents, or it means the content of PE. But in the Anglophone countries, it's also other dimensions, not just the goals, not just the content, but also the methods and also the organization, the management. And this is what Yuka, as I said, touched a couple of times. That's the organization of the teaching, that they that they use the group teaching, and that they leave the students to find own way how to deal. Well, that they are not actually measuring their physical fitness, but they are not for comparing them between themselves. But important is the knowledge how to improve. So it's actually the freedom, give them the chance to know, and that gives them the freedom to act. And so the difference between the traditional approach would be, let's make them all healthy and fit. Nobody cares about your prerequisites and about how special you are. Yeah, and the other approach is, as probably Yuka is using, or the guys in Finland are using now. So actually, the most important dichotomy and the most important specialty in the Czech Republic is to explain and to understand what curriculum is, and that the two dimensions, organizational and methodological dimension, is important as the two other dimensions, the goals and content. Because from the international research that we have done, we know that, you know, we all kick the ball, we all swim, we all do everything the same, almost the content wise, but how we deliver it, if we use the, you know, problem oriented teaching and, you know, applied oriented teaching and stuff like that, that makes them self, as I was explaining at the beginning. So that's the specialty in the Czech Republic, and that's the that the combat actually that we are having here.
I think Peter, there's a lot of similarities in Scotland. We're always stuck with, you know, that dichotomy, as you were saying, between making the population fitter and healthier, but then also the other side of that is trying to make them better at sport. So having a real skill focused curriculum on teaching technique. I think years ago, technique was a kind of big focus for PE teachers and improving their performance. And then I think obviously it's over the years, it started to transfer itself more to developing their stamina, their physical literacy. So yeah, there's definitely some, you know, more experienced teachers who still really want to develop the skills and the next athlete for each sport. And then there's obviously the rest who are moving towards a different approach, as you were mentioning there. So it's great to hear everyone's insights and experiences, and it's definitely something I would like to do again, as you were saying in the chat there. So hopefully we can organize another date to do another podcast, and we can maybe have a more focused one on something that's relevant to everyone's country and curriculum at that point in the year. And we could do a couple a year, which would be interesting for us and for everyone who listens into it as well. So has anyone got any final remarks before we finish up this episode?
Thanks a lot for organizing this. It was really, really great to hear all the others. And thanks also for the comment in the chat. Yes, I have never noticed the similarities that much. So it would be great to share it further. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, I think we all have the same kind of issues. Just finally, see on the groups being too big in terms of the class sizes. What's the class sizes across the board in terms of teaching PE? In your countries, we are max 30, generally speaking, 30 in a class. What's it like across the countries?
In Finland, we have the lower grade classes. We often have two teachers, but even up to 40 students. So they are huge. In upper schools, let's say from sixth grade, 11 years old to 15 year olds, it's about 25 to 30 students. But in high schools, they are huge again. One teacher may have even 60 students at a time. So that's wow. And it's changed in the past 5 to 10 years. It's doubled.
Yeah, it seems unmanageable.
This is one of the things that we want to influence, that we need to get the group sizes down in order to get some really actual good feedback to the students and some value from the PE.
Yeah, it's quite funny because practical subjects in Scotland is 20, but PE isn't a practical subject.
Oh.
Supposedly. Yeah. So we're 30. But supposedly, yeah, that was agreed years ago because the PE teachers wanted to have a game of rugby and football. So they had to have 11v11, or, you know, they had to have enough players in their team, in their class, to do a game. So that was the logic behind it. So we're still stuck with that.
We are trying to get it down to even 16 or 20 in Finland. And yeah, the facts that we have behind it, we have two subjects in comprehensive school, which are home economics, where they're cooking and doing home maintenance stuff, and there are knives there. So for safety reasons, they have a maximum of 60 students per teacher. And also we have this design subject, which has textiles and then woodwork. So in the woodwork, there's also a maximum of 16 per teacher. And now we're trying to kind of say that the PE is also a risky subject, because if you're doing gymnastics or stuff like that, or swimming, so there's a risk of danger or some danger for the students. So we're trying to get it down to 16, not only for the safety reason, but for the purpose of being effective on the students.
Yes, I think
one thing I wanted to say, sorry, Lewis and Clark, thank you for thinking about also making this a regular thing, or maybe meeting more often. One thing that I noticed, that we all said, that we don't have qualified or professional PE teachers in the primary schools. So that's something that I think is something that we could all maybe develop in our systems. Yep. And it's really important that we have very professional teachers in the lower grades, which is the kind of important period for learning. And
Definitely.
Yeah,
and I don't think you'll have a problem with getting teachers if you've got 5% getting accepted. I think you'll have plenty scope for hiring teachers there. And then what about class sizes in Canada?
Yeah, just through in the chat there, very, very similar. It's often a political football, the class sizes, that gets used by either side to try and make the point instead of actually just looking at what's good for kids. So I have heard some horror stories of a few of my student teachers that they'll throw like three classes into the gym. So there's 80 students in there. That doesn't happen a lot. But most of our elementary classes have definitely gone up. But then we tend to, in the secondary, it's a little bit smaller classes instead of the big, huge ones. But it's always a contentious issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dana?
Actually, it's in primary, it's maximum like 20 to 23, because we don't have like larger classes. And in secondary, up to 25, this is a legal requirement. So there would not be more students in the class. So I think it's great to hear this, because our teachers are complaining about these numbers as well. still
can't keep everyone happy. Peter?
Yeah, actually, 2 or 3 days ago, I quoted a text from our Ministry of Education, Sport and Youth, and who said that they are aware about this problem of class sizes, and actually that they want to make possible this competence-oriented teaching, so the classes should be the smaller the better, actually, to enable this way of teaching. And actually, as I said, I quoted this article in many social media, because this was, from my point of view, a very important statement, for example, that shows, yeah, that the ministry finally is okay.
Listen. Starting to listen. That's good. Good progress. Okay, right. That would do us for tonight. So thanks very much, everyone, for coming on and being so honest and giving your views on PE and sport in your country. So we'll catch up soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks so much for giving up your time tonight. And Clark, thank you for organising that across the different time zones. That was a good effort from you there, sir. So well done.
Well, I was trying to get New Zealand on this one, but I gave up with the time zone. So.
Thanks very much, everyone. It was lovely to meet you all.
Right, take care, guys.
Good to meet you all.
Hopefully, chat again.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you very much for organizing everything. It was very nice to hear all the discussion.
Likewise. Thanks for listening to this episode of OBO in partnership with SAPPE.
We hope you've enjoyed today's discussion and been able to take something away that you can transfer into your teaching or indeed your life.
Until next time, we hope you have a fantastic week. Take good care of yourselves.